Oh, I saw you moving. Your old swivel hips, I saw you. That's West Nkosi, the legendary South African penny whistle virtuoso with Mazuzu, which means young woman. This is from his 1992 album, Rhythm of Healing. West Nkosi's compositions and styles of music were a driving force behind the distinctive sounds of Ladysmith Black Mambazo, Mahatini and the Mahotella Queens, and scores of other South African groups, providing and producing, helping them produce thousands of recordings for them. He was paralyzed, unfortunately, in an auto accident in August of 1998 and died 2 months later. He was 58 years old. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it's Free Your Mind Friday. What is Free Your Mind Friday? It's all about your opinions about something, your considered opinion about things that matter. And you'll tell us what you think and why you think what you think. People may take you on, they may not, but it is important for you to get into the habit on Free Your Mind Friday to take advantage of an open forum in which you express your ideas, and that's vitally important. It's a skill you should master, the skill of communicating what you're thinking. So the phones are open now at 888-874-4888, and we are going straight through. 888-874-4888. There are so many things to talk about, but I'm not talking. That's the main thing. I'm listening. That's my job. That's my part of the job, to listen to what you say and sometimes to help you clarify your position. It is not an issue, and please don't make it an issue, whether you agree or disagree with what someone says. It is simply the idea that they have a right to express an opinion, but they also have an obligation, and this is what we talk about all the time, they have an obligation to make themselves clear as to where they stand. We'll start off with Jackie from Brooklyn. Hello, Jackie, you're on the air.
The listening Hello? Family.
Yeah, can
Thank
you
hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I wanted to talk about the importance of music, because, first of all, I really enjoy the music that you always start your show with, whether it's jazz or gospel, or today use the South African music. But I think it's very important, and I hope you consider one day doing a show about music. And my point is that music has an impact on all our lives, regardless of what culture, nation, ethnic group, or however you identify yourself. Music has an impact on our lives. It can be soothing, it can be comforting, but it also can be a tool for liberation. And I just hope that other people will join in that discussion regarding the use of music and how it impacts on all of us.
Okay.
So that's my thought.
Thank
for
you.
Today.
Thanks for the hint.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you so much. Daryl from the Bronx, you're on the air.
Here, Eutrice Lead.
Hello, Daryl.
Happy New Year, Eutrice.
Thank you, Daryl. And to you, too.
Thank you so much. I want to talk about shifting capital from the people who have to the people who are without, using gifting platforms and employee matching programs. I think it's a way that 501c3s and 501s, no, I don't think. I know it's a way that 501c3s and 501c4s can take advantage of passive income, especially with regard to a website called Good Search. Now, Good Search comes under Good Shop, which is a platform.
Would you happen to be proselytizing at the moment?
No. Actually, what I'm attempting to do is to get people to support one another by raising funds and encouraging other people to raise funds for them, for other people, and then in turn, those other people would raise funds for the person who turned them on to the idea.
So well, I raised the point because it's one thing to say that you're advancing an idea, but already you have also delineated and identified a specific organization that people should support, and I'm a little uncomfortable with that.
It's not support. In other words, it would be different if that was if Good Shop and Good Search were a company, in which I was saying that you needed to go to that company to get a product to do X and X. It's a platform in which, let's do the free platform first. Let's leave out Good Shop. Good Search is a way that if you do searches for information, you can give a penny a search to a charity of your choice. Is that acceptable?
I don't know. I don't know the totality of the appeal, you see.
I'm giving you the
penny,
totality.
A penny a search is really a little, not money at all, but... we have to be very careful. We are a nonprofit organization, and so we do not typically get involved in for-profit ventures.
That's not a for-profit venture.
I understand that, but I'm saying that we have to be careful about it.
I'm trying to raise money for PRN and helping people who have limited capital or no capital to go into a library, for instance, when they're able to do that, rather than using the other G search engine, use Good Search, put in PRN as their Progressive Radio Network in as their charity of choice, and raise money for the station.
Okay, well, I still am leery because I don't quite know.
Explain
the entities that you're talking about. I'm a little leery.
No, could you just explain your concerns so that I know how to hone my message so that you're comfortable? Because obviously...
No, it's not about making me comfortable. I'm just saying, generally, I would be uncomfortable or a little bit leery when a specific product or a specific company or a specific anything is mentioned in conjunction with money. We have to be very careful about that.
That's the importance of understanding how things work and what things are.
I have no problem admitting that I don't understand how many things work. I have no problem with that at all.
And that's why I'm attempting to get people to get interested into looking into how things work so that they can take advantage of capital that's available to them that they have no idea how valuable their work is to the overall system. So, for instance, I used to work for Verizon. Verizon had an employee matching program. Back when you were the program director of another station, I used that program matching to double my donations to that station. I wasn't aware of it until someone made me aware of it, and then when I found out, I called up the station. They registered with Verizon. Whenever I gave money to the station, that money was automatically matched by Verizon up to $5,000. That was back when $5,000 was actually money. So what I'm saying to you is that there are, if, since we're in a corrupt system, we need to take advantage of as much of the, as many of the ways in which we're quote unquote compensated that the company benefits from our labor, but we fail to benefit on the compensations that are offered. So in this case, it was employee matching. In the other case, there are other cases where companies, I won't name them, have, if you shop through their platform, you can designate a charity, and they will give a percentage of your shopping to that charity. That provides them with a further tax write-off besides the profit that they made on the sale, and it gives them also, what is it, credit in the community for contributing to community organizations, when in fact it's actually you that's doing the contributing because it's your labor that's providing them, or your purchase that's providing them with the capital in order to make that purchase. I mean, in order to make that contribution. Why don't you get them? So the point that I'm making is that if we're in a corrupt system and we fail to take advantage of capital that's available to improve our lives so we can get out of that corrupt system, we could by supporting one another in these 501c3s, appreciably change our condition.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it went nowhere.
Thanks for bringing that to our attention.
That's
thank
okay.
you.
We'll try again.
Okay. All right. Harvey from Berkeley, you're on the air.
Hello, space goddess Utrice.
Oh my gosh. I should put together a list of all the things that you have designated me and just paint it on a wall somewhere that I could look every day.
Well, it's all true.
What are you talking about today?
Well, today I'd like to make a prediction about our connection to the ever-expanding universe with the possibility that 2022 may be the year of intelligent extraterrestrial disclosure, which will have a more than profound effect on how we humans see and treat each other. First of all, we have the recently launched James Webb Space Telescope, that'll really ramp up our ability to find Earth-like planets in the vastness of outer space. And then there's SETI, which stands for the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. SETI has been analyzing radio signals from space for signs of intelligent life on planets that circle distant suns. And it turns out that SETI has some new competitions, very serious competition in their search for intelligent extraterrestrial life. The world-famous Harvard University physicist named Avi Loeb, who in 2020 was sworn in as a member of the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology at the White House, has started a visual investigation of unusual objects that are flying around our solar system. It's called the Galileo Project, that will use Earth-based telescopes to look for objects in space that might have been built by intelligent beings from both inside and outside of our solar system. So the race is on between the new James Webb Space Telescope, SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and Harvard astrophysicist Avi Loeb's Galileo Project, using the most current technology to find life in the universe. And 2022 may in fact be the year of intelligent extraterrestrial life disclosure, which will have a more than profound effect on how we Earthlings perceive and treat each other, hopefully for the better. So thank you. Thank you for letting me say that, Utrice.
Thank you very much for contributing. Positive from Brooklyn, you're on the air at 888-874-4888 on this Free Your Mind Friday. Are you there? Well, positive is not there. That's not positive, positive. 888-874-4888. It's a day in which you express your own opinion about something, whether you think people would agree or not, is not the point. The point is that you should do a good job of presenting your point of view. That's all that's required. Do as good a job as you can, as thorough a job as you can, expressing your point of view. And if people should want to take you on, you should be prepared to defend it. Okay, that's what Free Your Mind Friday is all about. 888-874-4888. Did we lose positive? Apparently. Okay. All right. Thank you. Studio says he is no longer on the line, and we've lost him. But we don't have to lose you at 888-874-4888. This might be a good time to take a break, and we'll come back right after that and begin with part two. All right? You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. It is Free Your Mind Friday, and as I've explained, but it bears repeating, Free Your Mind Friday is dedicated to you, the listener, and what you believe needs to be brought to people's attention in by way of expressing an opinion about it. Please try your best to express an opinion, okay? Don't just go on and on and on, and we don't know where you're going. You should have a point of view about something, pro or con, it doesn't matter. And it is important that you put forward your best and strongest case. Positive is back. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice.
Good afternoon.
I have 2 points that I wanted to bring up. But before I do that, I want to salute a few people. Those persons being Brother David, Brother Jeremiah, Joshua, and Brother Marcus, and yourself, and the one that takes the calls. I don't know the brother's name,
okay.
But it's his name about when he is.
That's right.
He goes, but I appreciate it. I have 2 things I wanted to bring up. I don't want to take away no time of anybody else calling in. I just want more or less want to listen. You don't really have to respond. And this is from love and from understanding. The brother Juan yesterday brought up something, and I don't agree that the way he went about it was wrong, but I do think it was a little somewhat redundant on your part and a little harsh on him in the way you respond to that whole situation.
Well, explain the situation. People need to know.
Well, he called, and he recalled about a situation, the way I understand it, with some girl or something and her mother. And, I guess he was trying to get you to give his number or something like that, which I agree with you wholeheartedly. The way you went about it was wrong. But I don't think his intent was to try to sneak something in or hijack something in, you know what I'm saying, that was nefarious or anything like that towards you or towards the station. I think he was a little passionate about what he was, his concerns. And, a little somewhat maybe out of line, but that was it. I don't think he was nefarious or had any type of negative intentions towards you or the station. And that's why I think it was a little harsh. And, you made your point about that, and then you brought it up again, and it was like, taking away even your time from, going over something more to me, positive. But I guess you had your reason. That's why I said you don't really have to respond to that. You know, I'd rather just hear me out on that and continue on with, you know, my next thing and let others continue on whatever issues they, whatever things they're going to bring calling about. My second thing I wanted to mention is that with me, I just find it, you know, what's one question you about? Because, you know, I'm a realist person. I'm going to keep it real with you. And that my name is Positive. And you one time said, what's, like, positive what? Yet I hear other people calling in, like E from Edgewater, and you never questioned that. And me, like I said, that's my name. I mean, it was given to me in 77 or 78. I didn't like it when I first got it. But the name, according to what the one who gave it to me, they said it fitted me. So I kept it, and I learned to love it. And I learned to appreciate it and live accordingly to it. But that is my name. So just something I just wanted to put out there. Again, I appreciate your work and all that you do. I feel somewhat missing you a lot of times when I listen to WBAI and I hear the recordings, especially when it comes to fundraising time, of Hugh. And I know when Hugh was there, you were there. And you would always say, until the creek don't rise. So I miss a lot of that. And, you know, just wanted to say that to you out of love, because I have nothing but love for you. Whether
I know that. I don't doubt that at all. Okay. What happened yesterday was necessary, in my view. I do not make it a habit of, upbraiding people and making them feel ashamed that they've been called. Never. I don't do that.
Right.
But we had an instance in which a young man called, obviously had not listened to the station, was not listening to the station. He crash-landed into the program, and then methodically, this is what really irritated me, methodically chose to take the program over to suit his aims. It was beyond rude, in my view. It was very rude. You do not, I mean, it's, you should know, you're calling into a radio station. I could pretty much say with confidence he's not a listener. But then he was into this mode of running the show. I have an issue, and I want to talk about my issue, and this is the issue. I want to talk to the guy you talk to who is a martial artist. I want to, you know, if I could get his number and so forth. Way out of line. Very much out of line. I had to put him straight. I do not like rude people. It just drives me nuts. His whole approach was wrong. And I said, did it occur to you that we are at work here? We're not just talking. We're trying to build a body of information that we share and so forth. This is work. You call in from nowhere, and you crash land into the program. The next thing you know, you're giving me assignments of what you want me to do for you. Listen. I didn't want to go that deep with him, but he deserved a tongue lashing, and he got it.
Okay, I understood. Thank you for letting me know.
he deserved it. You know, I was raised in a household with eight men, eight of the species. Right. The estrogen quotient was my mother, my older sister, and me. And we had to hold our own because we were outnumbered. There were seven brothers and my father. And men just have a different way of thinking about things and doing things.
Right.
And every now and then you have to yank them and tell them, listen, fellow, this is not the way it works.
Right.
You have to have some kind of understanding or demonstrate at least that you don't mean any offense. You don't mean to, you know, get my dander up. You're just trying to communicate a stressful situation. But then it dawned on me, the more he talked, it was about him. It wasn't about the person he was trying to help. It was about him.
Okay.
Being the star of that show. And, I mean, you come on a show and you're going to try and give me an assignment? Are you out of your mind? Are you really crazy? No, I had to straighten him out.
I appreciate that because you deal with these situations more than I do from your perspective of, you know, being a host of radio stations and other echelons you have held and on that level. So you deal with it more than I do. So you have a way of going about it. So I can appreciate that.
Yeah, I had to do it. Not for me, but I had to make a statement for everybody listening. I am not to be, I mean, you come on, you don't even know what we're talking about. You've insulted everybody listening to the program. You say to them, I don't care what you're listening. I mean, I don't care what you're talking about. Listen instead to me. No, we have a different way of operating. And we've got to have some kind of manners, some kind of courtesy with each other. You don't do that.
Yeah, thank you.
You just don't do that. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, yeah, Positive. Thank you. And let me get to your name. When I had asked you about it, I asked only because a lot of people like to use pseudonyms when they're on the radio. And to me, that's kind of cheap. You know, be yourself. Say who you are. So I had to ask you, is that your name? And you said yes, and I accepted that.
Right. You did. I bet. You did. Thank you.
All right. So you get me now.
Okay. Also, I want to put in there a salute also to Brother Ed. I don't know I said that before, but I wanted to say that. I think I forgot his name, Ed, and others who I didn't mention. Salute you all, and thank you very much. What you put
thank
in.
Thank you. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye. I'm trying to get something is going on with my phone, and I don't know how to fix it. Wayne from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Happy Friday to you, Utrecht, and PM.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine today. The free up of my mind will be a little... Well, listen to it. I wanted, well, it started off with the COVID, the changing pandemic, but I'm tying it into things said by Nostradamus, by John in his Revelations, and what was the great American psychic? Oh, crap.
Ooh.
Help me, Utrecht. What's his name?
There are many. I don't even know.
All right, it will come to me. It will come back.
But you have to make up your mind on one subject.
Well, it is one, but it's just showing you that it was this thing was stated by all of these people. And we're in a situation now that is becoming very, to me, interesting. All right, starting with John, the prophecies of John in Revelation, right? He stated that in the last days, there would be this terrible destruction. All-out wars is what we've seen, and how many people are going to be killed. Nostradamus went a little further. He spoke about this time with missiles being fired on America, raining down on America, and this war going to be much different to anything we had, much more disastrous to anything we had. the American sidekick, he also mentioned death in his readings. The thing about it is that Nostradamus and him were like doctors giving out remedies, healing remedies and stuff to people. And this was more healing remedy for the planet, the people of the planet. Today, we have a situation where there's this meteorite coming close to the Earth, this huge meteorite. They claim it's going to be passing within a distance that we could see it. I was reading one of the NASA reports that they sent up this rocket called DART, D-A-R-T. But the aim is to see if they could get this meteorite to change course. The interesting part here
is where are you going? I'm listening, but
right,
I don't
getting the,
detect
I'm
that
getting
you're going
there.
Anywhere with this, except you presenting a series of things that have happened and are still happening. But
yes.
What is the point?
Yes. Now, this meteorite is supposed to, as I say, pass close to the Earth. The DART that they are sending, they always talk about using these missiles to either destroy or deflect from the Earth, protect the Earth as they claim. Now, in one of these writings, it said that a meteorite will hit the Earth, but it will be broken into two pieces. One landing in the Pacific, one landing in the Atlantic. Now, it's going to herald, once it hit these places, tidal waves going to erupt, washing away most of the coastal cities and people that we know today, that the planet going to change drastically, and all these people going to die. At the end of which, well, during this period, we're going to have blackouts, that we never had before for some extended periods, freezing most of the people because there'll be no electricity. Now,
but Wayne, where are you going with all of this? Where are we supposed to land?
Oh, let's hope it don't ever land. But at the end of it all, in this COVID, I remember reading that this COVID pandemic, they have this great reset to take place, right? And it is taking place. That will come about with blackouts and leading into what they call the Third World War. Now, I find it very interesting that at this time, with the meteorite, that America will set up this thing. And I know they're going to try to shoot and change the course of this meteorite. Now, if this is the one that is going to be changed to two pieces, then I say, isn't that coincidental that these things going to come to pass based on something that we have now? I am hoping and praying it don't happen like that. But it's just to make people aware of what's going on, what could go on. We all hope that, no, it don't happen because everybody's going to have to move from the coastal area. But just in case it should happen, just an alert to people. Because I find somehow these things sticking in my mind now that Edgar Casey was the American psychic that spoke about it also. That these things...
Okay, you've laid out some... predictions. They're not the best predictions anybody wants to hear.
Predictions.
But
yes.
Having laid them out, what is your point?
Good. Now, they all predicted that these events are going to precede a change in the Earth conditioning and atmosphere and all of these things. Now, and it's strange that this meteorite is coming and it's going to be attacked or tried to be diverted by this thing. And I'm hoping that this is...
Oh. Wayne, what happened to Wayne? Wayne, you lost your signal.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go. Still lost. Okay, we'll have to move on and catch up. 888-874-4888 is a number to call to share your views on Free Your Mind Friday on lead stories on PRN. All right, who's next? Okay. When we were waiting for you, but you kind of copped out. Your signal went and has not yet returned. Oh, this is a disaster. And my phone suddenly decided to misbehave. This is really crazy. 888-874-4888. I want to keep you abreast of what's developing. I talked about it before, but it's shaping up, and we have only a little ways to go before we begin our presentations, our special presentations, and people are getting their act together on the various subjects that they are going to present. It's the first time that we have done this, not for me, but it's the first time as a formal introduction to PRN that we're having peer-to-peer education in that sense of people taking on subjects. Again, you may or may not agree with what they're saying, but that, I always say, is not the point. The point is to appreciate what they're saying, and if you wish to contest it, that's what you should do. But don't, you know, beat up a person because you don't like their point of view. All right. I can't see much of anything. Okay. So, Denise from New York, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Denise. Welcome.
Oh, hi. Hi, you, Therese. How are you today?
I'm hanging in.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to free my mind of some thoughts I had.
You need, Denise, I'm sorry to, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you need to speak a little louder and closer to your phone.
Okay, let's see.
Perfect.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay, great. Yes, I just wanted to respond to your inquiry the other day where you invited folks to call in and in response to whether or not Joe Biden will run again, if it's a good idea or not. My response to that was that I really would be surprised if he successfully makes it through his first 4 years. And the reason for that is because I do notice a very big difference between the way the mainstream media presents Joe Biden and his performance as opposed to other forms of media, grassroots media, media that's a little more critical of him, shows his performance, whether he's doing a press conference or he's doing a speech. And what I'm seeing there is very concerning. And he seems to be suffering from real cognitive issues. A couple of examples are that he slurs his words a lot, and he doesn't complete full sentences. This is a very something he does frequently, and what else? He has that odd shuffle, and it sort of suggests that he may be having health issues. He also coughs a lot. I don't think he's going to be fit to run in 4 years. I would be surprised if he makes it through the first 4 years. I think he's getting a really big boost from the mainstream media, but when one watches his performance in a raw manner, it's pretty clear that he's struggling to hang in there, cognitively speaking. Another couple of things is that he reads from the teleprompter almost all the time, and he doesn't seem to do well without the teleprompter. And he does not receive questions after his press conferences, unlike Obama and Trump, who both acted on their toes. They had to go toe-to-toe with the press. But Joe Biden doesn't, and they let him off the hook for that. They let him leave after just about every press conference without taking questions. And this is all very concerning. You know, I just wonder how long he's going to get away with all of this. And that's just my opinion.
Well, thank you. But what do you mean by concerning? You're saying the words, but you're not saying specifically what you're thinking.
Concerning that he's not, in my opinion, doing the job well. He's not able to handle the job in terms of, you know, in comparison to other presidents that came before him. It's a problem when you can't correspond with the press who's right in front of you. He just walks off. Why? Like, if you can't do that part of your job, I mean, how long can he hang in there? He can't get away with that much longer. He certainly can't get away with it for 4 years. He's already his ratings are going down for multiple reasons. And I think that's one of them. But the mainstream media just boosts him up and praises him for everything. And that is why he's hanging in there. But I don't...
Well, it's no different from what they did with Reagan. Reagan had cognitive issues as well, and he read strictly from the teleprompter. But
was that like
he did okay?
Was that something he developed after a while of being in office? I don't remember, and I don't know if he ran for two-term president or not. This is the first year of Joe Biden's performance and his job, and he's just not doing well.
So what do you think he should do? What do you think should be done about him?
I don't think there's anything he can do because I think it's cognitive. I think he's late in the game. He ran for president once. He was probably more able-bodied to do it, but he's no longer able-bodied to do it. He won't even take the test that, you know, that tests his cognitive abilities. The media doesn't demand that he do that. They demanded it of Trump, and he did it, and he passed very well. But Biden won't take the test, and I don't think he would do well with it. I don't think there's really much he can do. It's just past his prime.
How much of this do you think is Biden, and how much do you think is Biden resisting the notion, the widely held notion, that people have to do what he has to do what people say?
I'm sorry, what is your question?
How much of this is inherently Biden? Okay, you mentioned cognitive problems and so forth.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you, but you're not giving much a thought to the fact that he's in a very precarious position. And the media organizations have not been very kind to him so far.
Really? I feel
differently. Not at all.
What do you base that on? I see it the opposite.
I look at the coverage and the tone of coverage. Everybody is positioning themselves as more expert at Biden than Biden is at Biden.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
the media organizations have taken on a tone which is really not very respectful, and yet I understand why they are doing it, but that doesn't make it acceptable. There's a mean streak about it. There's something mean about it.
About it? About the way they're treating him? Can I ask you, who, for example, are you thinking of? Because I'm, you know, there's such a variety of the media, but when I'm saying that he's getting really praised and boosted, I'm thinking of outlets like CNN and MSNBC. They're very, you know, forgiving of anything that he does that's off, and they praised him. And
yes, they're pro-Biden, very much so. And that's the sad part about what the media itself, the institutions, have become. They've become partisan and less independently evaluating things and reporting. They're taking sides, and they're not apologetic about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're thinking of maybe like New York Times or PBS, or can you give me an example of who you think is being a little hard on him?
Well, you take any of the pundits on these major stations, they're downright disrespectful. They openly contemptuous of him.
And I'm just a little confused. Could you give me an example of one of these media outlets that...
I'll say Jean Pirro, who is a judge.
Oh, okay.
Why do you have to... Why has journalism taken on this nastiness? Report the news. You disagree? Okay, so you disagree. But they have made a career, many of them, by bashing this one or bashing that one. They're not reporting.
Okay, I hear you. That's she's Fox News, and that's what they do. You go after the other side, but CNN and MSNBC do the same thing the other way. So
exactly, they all do it, and this is what is so pathetic, and it is sad that this is the level to which journalism has sunk, because it's a tit for tat, it's mean spiritedness, it is not an effort to help people understand what is going on, but more the point is made that they can raise their own individual animosities and disguise it as news reporting. It is not news reporting. Practically nobody is doing news reporting.
Mm. Well, I think if one watches C-SPAN or you know, the WhiteHouse.gov site on YouTube, or you try and get the information straightforward, you can still see his performance difficulties, this cognitive trouble.
I'm not disputing that at all. I myself have noted that. It was, and it begs the question, why was he selected? Given all the indications that people had, and they were so obvious,
mm-hmm.
It's like Trump.
Right.
How could anybody explain Trump becoming a presidential candidate, given his psychosocial background? Nobody in their right mind would want to put him in the White House, but they did, and they may even do it again.
But that's a political opinion. That's your opinion. Whereas there's
no, that's not my opinion at all. He's crazy. I've said it when I was in New York City. I said it blatantly.
Crazy. What does that mean?
He's got big problems.
Okay,
I talked about his lying, his hatefulness. You know, it just is not the caliber of person that even, you know, I'm not a pro-Republican, but there used to be candidates of good stature. You think to Donald Trump, is that the best you could do? And you claim that you're all about standards and all this, and Donald Trump is the candidate for president and then becomes president? A man who is a sexual predator? This is the best you could do.
Well, some say that Joe Biden is also a sexual predator.
I reported that story.
Right. Okay. So, you know, but I think, you know, there's political opinions, and apparently a good portion of the electorate disagrees with you on that. They think that Trump is a good candidate. So what is the divide?
Well, they may think that, but then again, they cannot justify it.
Well,
I'm a reporter.
How do you know?
I take that very seriously. When
right.
I do an article, I invest in making sure it passes muster. I'm not here to do an article that is pro this one or anti that one. The facts are the facts.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And a long time ago, since in New York, I talked about Donald Trump. I talked about his father. I talked about his grandfather. All of them, profoundly offensive people. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, he couldn't help but be who he is, based on how he came along. But that is not a compliment. It's not the way the Republican Party should have gone. I talked about early, before anybody else did, that Donald Trump was establishing a parallel presidency. I turned out to be right.
What does that mean, a parallel
presidency? It means that even if he's out of office, even if he loses re-election, he will continue to function as if he never left the White House. All the functions that he had before will still be there. There will be people doing different things, people coming from abroad, leaders coming from abroad, coming to pay homage to him and so forth. In the same way that you would have an elected president receiving foreign dignitaries. Look, part of this all is that Americans themselves have given license to a level of degradation that is now biting them in the butt.
They're not giving
thought to the fact that this is not acceptable. It is not acceptable. I don't care what they say. It is not acceptable to elect a president who still has trials charging him with sexual assault.
Well,
but it's just not right. You know, you can't have a president. It's like what Britain is now dealing with their prime minister.
Uh-huh. But anybody
crazy.
Can start it. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, well, you have to have some kind of standards, but when you throw those standards way out, and it has nothing to do with whether he's a Republican or a Democrat, you just shouldn't have, as president of a country, people with that profile. You just shouldn't have it. It's an insult and a disgrace.
Well, many believe that Joe Biden also sexually assaulted a woman, but he's president.
I reported on it.
Okay.
You know,
well,
I reported
you
on that.
Right.
It's not whether I believe it or not. I reported it.
Well, yeah. So,
So it's out there. I didn't hide it. That's what came up. That's what the papers said, the legal papers.
A lot of these.
And it is sad that it was not pursued. She talked about getting slammed up against the wall and him digitally sexually assaulting her. That hasn't been resolved sufficiently to persuade anybody that he's, you know, squeaky clean.
Well, look at how the media handled that. I mean, and again, CNN and MSNBC, they pushed that story out of the way. They didn't.
Yeah, just like Clinton. Just like Clinton. It's like Bill Clinton. They decided they will take on the role, not as reporters, but as the cover-up team. We're out of time. I thank you so much for calling and contributing today, and hope that you do so again. Thank you all for contributing today on Free Your Mind Friday. I hope you have a good weekend. Surround yourselves with people who care about you and bring good things into your life. If they don't, don't. Run when you see them and take good care of yourself. And we touch base again with each other next week. Bye-bye.